I had a tremendous hanor in preparing the Ma'ariv Mekoymus for this year, and I'll tell you why. The pasuk is one. First, I had a half a minute to do the next three psukim, and I said, "Was kemen shen zogen afrifus hilisharecha?" Yeah, I know the pasuk and I know the inyanim, but aber von das fet. Then I started thinking about was liegt in dem pasuk and the inyanim that you can bring out, and I realized that that even one shiur isn't enough. And I was overwhelmed with a hergish of the richness of Torah. It's noyer va'ayim. Let me explain to you. From this pasuk, we have an inyan that everybody is familiar with, that the shaliach tzibur repeats Hashem Elokeichem emes. But the complexity of it was even lost on myself. Not that I didn't know any of these Ma'ariv Mekoymus beforehand, but just Pashut thinking about the parasha once again, it's very, very remarkable. And as you'll see, what's really remarkable is how seriously l'halacha ulemaisa they took the idea that Kriyat Shema is keneged ramach evorav shel adam. Very, very interesting. That this, what we think sometimes, there are remozim. Remozim, what are remozim? Some, you know, like paparois l'chokhma, right? Kinen upischei nida eim hen gufei toira, right? Tkufei sukamatriois paparois l'chokhma. Paparois l'chokhma, you see a tshuva in the Radvaz, mamish pages. And then you see a Beis Yosef. And it contains in it, from Kabbalah to the Gemara and Brachas to all kinds of halachas, is mamish pile ployim, what's licked in them, and how seriously they took this. And I'll tell you something else that we discover in a moment. We discover that saying Kriya Shema b'tzibur, in order to gain the Shaliach Tzibur's repetition of Hashem Elokeichem emes, is a critical thing. It's a critical thing. So everyone knows that you go to Daven b'tzibur, because the Tefillah b'tzibur, the Shemayna Esrei b'tzibur. And then maybe there's also the union of Paris al Shema, because the Kedusha of the Kriya Shema is a whole Shaila. Is it the Kedusha of the Malachim, or are we saying Kedusha? If it's just telling the story of the Kedusha of the Malachim, a Yochid can say it also. If we are saying the Kedusha Kadosh Kadosh, then you need a minion, Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. Maybe you need a minion for that. Abba Gibakuk, you need a minion, because you need the Shaliach Tzibur to repeat Hashem Elokeichem emes. And you'll see how seriously they took it. There's one line there you'll see that's Meraf Sinigra. So Me'inyon Le'inyon, let's start from the beginning, from the Bir Hagra. The Bir Hagra has nothing to do with the Inyon of Kriya Shema. He teaches the Pasuk, and in his very distinct fashion, he is mechalik between mitzvah sase and mitzvah loy sase. Rifus means refuah. Tehil sharecha. Sharecha are your bodily parts, defined differently by different mafarshim. But the word shririm, which today means muscles, also is related to this word. So rifus tehil sharecha. V'shikui la'atzmaisecha. There is a refuah and a sustaining of your bones, of your body. What does it mean? So if you'll take first a look, before we get to the Gra, at the Malbim. Rifus, he writes like this. Hagam, shechukei achochma misnagdim l'tiv acha, bal tachshoib shal yedei sheteilich b'darkei achochma. A person sits and learns Torah, yoimim v'layla. He doesn't get exercise, he doesn't get sustenance, his body's bent over, it kills his arches, the typical, if you want to read an anti-Semitic description of a yeshiva bacher, so some of the great Yiddishists who had tremendous kayach of the pen, they were tremendous writers. They described the bankvetched bacher that's schwach and can hardly, you know, and is useless. Is useless. You know, in those days, especially in Russia, by the Goyim, there was this image of the intellectual farmer who's busy, you know, and building up his muscles and his health, and his he's accomplishing and creating, and this guy is sitting in a dark base medrash, by the lichtala, and he's sitting all bent over, and they describe him in such a negative way. You know, so I once wrote a poem in Lashon Kodesh where I describe such a bacher, and then at the end it writes, you know, the pina zruka, right, in a base medrash, in a little corner, for who may nia es hakoil, and he's moving the whole world. This is the yeshiva bacher that they describe in such negative terms, says the Malbim, don't worry about it. That's such a bacher can have arichus yamin vishonim. I don't remember the last time that Reb Moshe joined the gym and was part of one of these marathon runs. He's referring to Torah. His hero al harbi machli says there's a tremendous advantage of being an Erlich Hayid, because look at all the things that you avoid, and look at all the matzovim that you are prevented from by excess of getting involved. The Maisa Boruch Hashem, except in the rarest moments, and certainly by transfusion accidents in the hospitals, we do not suffer from HIV, which is a makas ha'olam. You know why? Because there's no such thing as having shaychus to other people. There's no such thing. We don't count our blessings about things that we take totally for granted. That's the human nature. So chadav poshut, why should we even think about it? But the truth of the matter is, we are spared who knows what sort of things. So he says, "Mitzvah Yisiru al Harbi Ma'acholis v'Yitzavu Liskadish v'Lifroish Mimoisrei Hamozayim." Alze Oma Shebehefech Refuah Tehilu Sharecha. He says, "Not it's going to be a chesaron for you; it'll be a refuah for you." The Torah. Shasheru Shehu Yekabel Mashkim Umozayim Loy Levad Shlo Yechlal V'Yidayzeh. Ki as horas ha toira uprishas ha mozoin ha muzar yeloi refuah l'chol yoy. All the warnings of the Torah, and more than that, if you look at the Rambam and the way the Rambam describes what you're not supposed to eat and not to eat in excess and to leave on your plate, you realize that the Rambam is talking halacha. This is Torah. If a person learns that perek in the Rambam, he's mekayim a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But you could read the same thing in Prevention magazine today. Because all of those yesodes are people should not be obese, should not eat things that in excess, they should not consume too much sweets. All of these things already in the Rambam. So he says, we don't follow it. You go into the bakery, it says Yoshan, and it says, you know, the eggs are checked, and the flour is sifted, but it doesn't tell you between the lines, and 90% of what we sell is not good for your health. That's not the Rambam. The Rambam is not putting his gushpanka on this mahalach, and how much fat we eat and so on and so forth. The Rambam is not happy with that. So we shouldn't blame the Torah for our diets that we have artificially manufactured. But if you follow the mahalach of the Rambam, it's an unbelievable recipe for good health. So what does it mean? It means that the Ramban who said that Kedoshim Tiyu is Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Loch, that you should recede, you should draw back from even things that are permitted to you to sanctify your life, is a definite recipe. I want you to know something else. There's no greater recipe for mental health than the Torah. A lot of people think the opposite. They think it causes a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. And people come to me many times and they say, you know, my child is saying maybe I'm not going to go to Gan Eden, maybe I'll go to Gehenna, and all kinds of things, and phobias and concerns. And sometimes you have a person who's washing his hands 5,000 times because maybe he didn't get it right the first 4,999. Obsessive compulsive disorders. 99% of that, I mean, Rabbi Meir, you can contradict me, you're free to contradict me if I'm wrong. I think 99% of that comes from the outside. It's not rooted in what the Torah is giving you. It's how you interact with the Torah, and that has to do with genes, it has to do with family, it has to do with all kinds of other issues. And that not everybody is stable. Aber lemaisa, the Torah itself is a tremendous recipe for tranquility. Kabbalas yisurim ba'ava. The whole idea of shalom bayis. The whole concept of being mevatah, of giving in. I mean, these are tremendous recipes for mental health. So that's what he says. Don't worry, you'll think that you have to expend so much energy and so much effort and time in the Beis Medrash, in Avodas Hashem, in davening, in fasting, in Chveis Vos, Pas Bamelach Toichal, Mayim Bamesura Tishtev, Al Oretz Tishon, should know it's a recipe for Arichus Yamin. It's a recipe for Arichus Yamin. So he says, Yil Refu L'Choya V'chein Bal Yachshev Shal Yedei Minei HaPrisha Shabo Batorim Min Ha'inik V'Ataiva Yisyabish Moyachatz Moysecha. He says, don't think you'll dry up from avoiding all your taivas. Ki Behefech Sheyu Shikru La'atz Moysecha. From the word mashke, it'll invigorate you. Ki Chukei HaChokma Yechazku Es Briyus HaGuf Atzmoysev Yachlitzu. The question is, Rabbi Yochanan encountered Rish Lakish. You remember that famous Maisa? We had it already in the Gemara Kaimis a while ago. So we had the expression that Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Chel Choli Ayraisas. That the Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Rish Lakish tried to jump over the river after he was Makabel the Oil HaTorah, he found it was impossible to do. Torah Mateshes Koycha Shaladim. Torah is called Tushia, a salvation. So what is the pshat if Torah is mateshes kaychus shalodim? That the Malbim says, no, it's a refuah. So there could be several explanations, but one of the explanations we find is that it depends if you're mekabel the oil ha-Torah, which happens once in your lifetime, or in the learning of Torah on a regular basis. When is Torah Mateshes Koychus Shel Adam? When you are Mekabel the whole old Torah all of a sudden. That's Mateshes Koychus. But learning consistently and spending the rest of your lifetime learning, in other words, what they are saying is that Rish Lakish, if he would have 6 weeks or 6 months later tried to jump over the river, he would have been able to do so. But that one moment of Kabbalah Satorah that he suddenly accepts everything, the Vasachas, to go in the derech of Rabbi Yochanan, when before that he was a highway man, a bandit. So that's something that's Mateshes Koychus Shel Adam. It's not mashma like that from the phrase of Chazal itself, because it doesn't say Kabbalah Satorah, and also doesn't say one time. So some want to say that it totally, in whether you're learning Torah Lishma, or you're learning Torah Shalom Lishma. If you're learning Torah Lishma, now, again, you have the question, what about the Maisa with Rish Lakish? Of course, you know that Rabbi Yochanan offered Rish Lakish his sister, who was even more beautiful than he was handsome. So they said Mishnah, but it's not called Maisa. Rish Lakish was one of the pillars of Amasaira, and clearly his learning was totally Lishma. So it's hard to know. But I'd like you to turn for a moment where I quote from the Kloisenberger, Zechariah Levracha. He tries to explain why he was delayed in responding and why he doesn't have that much kayak to answer the question to begin with. He's excusing himself to the shayel. When he gives his tshuva, he's excusing himself why he's so brief and why he was delayed. He says, Ein b'kaychi ka'es Lahariku Lahami Kiritsaini. The Kaire Ani al Atsmi Sam Huniva Ashishas from the Poskin Shirashirim Huniva Ashishas Rabduni Bantapuchim. Right? So this comes from the Gemara Masachas Beya, which I quote in the footnote on the bottom. It's a very Kedai thing to go through for a moment. Bomine Rabavia Sova Mirafuna Behema Chetzio Shal Nokri, the Chetzio Shal Yisrael, Mahu Shoichta Beyontif. You're allowed to shechta behema on Yom Tov for yourself, tzorech oichel nefesh. But this particular behema, when you will shecht it, half of the behema belongs to the guy and is only for his benefit. So in a certain effect, your shechita should be for yourself and for the guy. Are you permitted to do this? Now, of course, our inclination would be, since I need the other half of the behema, and the only way I can eat it is by shechting it, so what's the nafkamina, what the guy owns? I need that maisa shchita. Yeah. Amalei, muta. So he said it's muta. Amalei, he asked him, v'chima bein zeh l'nedorim u'nedavos. It's very interesting. In the karbonos that you're makriv to the ribbono shel olam, there are certain karbonos like olos, which go completely for Hashem. So that you understand you can't be makriv in the dava of an oila, because you're not going to get a chelik of it. And therefore, it's not muchrich to bring on yontif. So memela, you're bringing a carbon and you're shechting a carbon which you didn't have to bring on yontif, and you have no personal benefit from it in the eating of the meat, because in oila, you're not allowed to eat the meat. It goes kuloi l'gavoya. But what happens if you're makriv nadarm and davos, which you do have a chelik from? So that sound, there's a chelik gavoya. So what? But you need the shechita for the chelik that you're going to consume. So it's exactly the same story as Behema, Chetzir Shal Nachri and Chetzir Shal Yisrael. And you're not allowed to be makriv those kabbanis on yontif. So he asks, what's the difference? So, right? Amale Urva Parach. Urva Parach is not an answer to the question. Urva Parach is a comment. What is the comment? So he says, Oirev HaPareach Lamala, Hishiyoy L'Dover Achet. Rashi, there are different explanations what Urva Parach means. I think that some say Urva Parach means I had the idea, but it flew out of my head. But Rashi says that he actually changed the topic. He says, oh, look, there's a bird flying overhead. Why did he change the topic? Because he wasn't able to give an answer at the time. Kinafik, Amale Rabba Bray, Rabba's son said, Lav Hainu Rabavia Saba, the Mishtabach Leimar Begavei Degavra Rabahu. Right? He says, the Rav Huna's son said to his father, Why did you dismiss him like that? Well, you know, he changed the topic and he saw that he's not answering the question, so he left. He says, it's such a chashuv yid, comes and asks you a question, and it's a serious question. Why did you dismiss him like that? The son wanted to understand what lies in his response that was so, it sounded like he was pushing him away. It sounded like a rejection. He says, no, it's not a rejection. But so what's the problem? Zok de gemara vaitel. Amalei uma evidle. What else could I do? I didn't have the answer. Ani hayoim samchuni ba'ashishos rabduni ba'tapuchim. Ubo minoi milso deboi taima. He says, he asked me a serious question that needs iyun, and I'm not able to do it right now. Because ani hayoim samchuni ba'ashishos. He quotes, I am today, this pasuk in Shir HaShirim. What does that mean? So look at Rashi. I bolded it out for you. Ani ayoyim samchuni ba'ashishos yoyim toifu. V'dorashti l'rabim. V'cholisi mitoyrach hadrosha. V'koyre ani olai samchuni ba'ashishos. Haviu li su'uda ve'esoid. What he was saying is, I just finished giving a shir. The colloquial in English, I'm wiped out. And I simply cannot think straight. And therefore, I had to push him away. Of course, the question is, why didn't he say all of this to the one who asked him the question? To Rabbi Aviyo Saba, who's a Gavra Rabba. Vesechnisht. The Gemara does not discuss that. But the point of the Gemara is very clear. Everybody thinks you come and you give a shir, it says Lebedek and Freilach, and after the shir, you go weiter. A shir, especially when you're Derish Barabim, is totally exhausting. That is what he says. It's like Torah Mateshes Koicha Shalodam, a certain kind of Mateshes Koicha Shalodam. So, he. What is Samchuni Bashishais? Samchuni, support me with cakes, with give me a suuda to eat. And then when I come back to myself, when I get rejuvenated with a little R&R, and then I'll be able to answer whatever Shiloh comes my way. B'siyata Dishmaya. So that's what it says over here, that he says, the Divrei Yatziv in the next paragraph. For all of B'dayti, harega, lefarish shama she'omer lo urva parach. He wants to explain what does it mean, urva parach. But Rashi said, urva parach means he changed the topic. He said, oh look, there's a bird flying over there. When Rabbi Avia Sova saw that, he was saying that, so he left. Because he sees he's not interested in answering the question for whatever reason. And then, of course, he tells his son the reason, because he gave the shir already just now, and he's very exhausted, and he needs to refresh himself before he can answer anybody's questions. So he says, "V'yesh loyma halei be'emes k'siv rifus tehila sharecha v'shikul atz mesecha." He says the Torah is supposed to be supportive, supposed to give you strength. It says in the pasuk of Mishlei, that's our pasuk, that Torah gives you extra refuah, extra strength, shikul atz mesecha. It invigorates you. So he says, it says, Achatoy in the Christ to Shia, Shematesh, and Skocha Shalodom, Okipa Sanhedrin, that Chavavam at Beis. Right? So how do you reconcile those two? On the one hand, Torah gives you strength, on the other hand, Torah weakens you. So how do you reconcile the two? So he says, Balkorchok Talya, the Maus Halimut, the Kishaloy Midlishma, Ubikdusha Vitara, Azdaika, Rifusi Lisharecha. If he's learning on the highest level, totally lishma, b'kedusha v'tara, then the Torah keeps giving you strength. V'hinei b'menachas kuvzayin amiral b'toizis kal ya'orev ma'orach b'mikdash rishayin sheshchina shruya b'lohir tzvichim kal ya'orev shloha ya'ofis parchin olav. They didn't need like scarecrows and artificial means to get rid of the birds, what are they called? Like vultures. Scavengers. Right, scavengers. They didn't need to scare away the scavengers because there were no scavengers. That was a nice. There were no scavengers. So therefore they didn't need this. He says a beautiful word. He tainis that the inyan of kol oifa perech va'av in nisraf from the kol ha'Torah means that poshet there was no disturbances. But he says that's the bechin of mikdash rishon. But what about mikdash sheni? He says, and then he adds, v'ayin nedarim minayin shakadosh baruch hu zanes ha'chayla. How do you know that a kadosh baruch hu gives succor and support to the chayla? Shenema Hashem yisadenu al eres dvoy. That's how you know that the Shechina is b'mrashoysav shel choyla. Mizeh deheichad the Shechina shruya ena mateshes koycho shel adam. V'ader rabba koycho ba'ena yitay. The koyach and the strength that he has remains with him. V'lazeh amalei urva parach. He said the kivin the oirev parach lamala. He said the oirev parach lamala is a simin that I'm not on the level of oif haparach ba'av in Yisraf, which itself is a symbol according to the Kleisenberger Zechayna Levracha, that my level of learning is still not yet on the level that the Torah should give me strength. So I can still be exhausted from the Torah. So you understand very well that when we're speaking about Lishma and Shlod Lishma, the way he teaches it, we're not talking about average people. We're talking about the super highest level of learning and the next highest level of learning. So he's saying about himself, Vani, Ve'einani b'pchina hanal, the Yonasan ben Uziel, Ukahta Mikdash Rishayim. That's what he's teaching the Gemara. That when Rapuna said to his son, when Rapuna said first to the Shoyal, to Rabbi Avia Sova, Urva Parach, he was explaining something to him. It wasn't just that he was distracting him. He was telling him, you see that bird flying over? I'm not on the level of Yonasan ben Uziel, who could maybe give shear upon shear upon shear upon shear and ask any question you want. Because the Torah was constantly giving him strength. It was like a fountain of youth. For me, Torah can knock me out also after a shear. So he says, that's what he showed with the Urva Parach. It's a very interesting chat. That's why the bird is still flying, because otherwise it would have been burnt. And that's why he needs to replenish himself and get a little rest and food before he can continue answering the shaylos. But in any case, everybody is struggling with these two poles, with these two contrasting and conflicting statements. Torah mateshes koicha shel adam, and Torah is called toshia rifusi l'sharecha. I want to just answer a simple answer to what he said without the sophistication of urva parach. There's a tremendous difference between the momentary exhaustion that exists after giving a shear and the sense of long-term ability to cope and to prevail over the elements and over the vicissitudes of life in general, whether they're physical or mental. Torah is definitely a plus in the long term. They tell an interesting maisa with the Chafetz Chaim ben Hageya Shidduch. You may have heard the story, that somebody was saying that this person that they recommended, Hagam, that he's a very big Talmud Chacham and has Alam Milas, but he's sickly. And they're afraid to do the Shidduch. So the Chafetz Chaim said that a person can be sickly and live for 100 years, and another person could be super healthy and it could be gone the next day. And they say, Kachava, that this person managed to live a very long time. And it happened to be that the person that we're talking about is the stipler. You have to understand that Torah, when it says Mateshes Klecha Shaladim, could very well be. So he's not Charles Atlas or whatever that guy's name is. So he's talking not the Gibor of the world. And he can't lift barbells. And he's not able to run a marathon. But such a person can prevail and last and last and last and last. And that's also a madrega of Rifus Hilu Sharecha V'Shikri La'atzmei Secha. In any case, that's the Malkum. I wanted to add one more thing. There's a corollary to this. That's a very important corollary, because one of the lines of the Malkum is Meramis to it. He says, don't think that Torah dries you up. Well, you can be dried up in two different ways. One way you can be dried up is simply physically, that it dries you up. You are aware that modern health perceptions say that indulging does not make you healthier. In fact, it makes you much less healthy. So we're okay. But I wanted to address something that's much more psychological. Some people think that Torah dries them up because it confines and restricts them to such an extent. L'moshel, a person wants to go out for an outing. So somebody will come over to him and say to him, you could learn today, right? Couldn't you learn today? Yeah, of course I could learn today. I have a day off, I'm free. I could definitely come into the base manager and sit and learn. So he says, why aren't you doing that? So he says, what are you talking about? I want to go out on an outing. I want to go on a boat that goes around the Hudson Valley and shows you all the beautiful scenery and everything. Or this person says, I want to take a short trip to the Alps. Or another person says, I want to go visit the museum, someplace, whatever it is, whatever. So somebody says to him, I don't understand you. Didn't you learn in Pirkei Avos? It says called Mahalach Baderech Umafsik B'Mishnosai V'Aim Emano Enir Zeh, right? No, Emano Ilan Zeh is Harezeh Mischai B'Nafshay. So he answers him the following. What do you want to do? You want to take the lachluchas, the marrow of my life completely out of me? You want to dry me up completely? Life is for living. And living means to experience the world and to enjoy yourself. So I do the mitzvahs of the Torah. I'm not violating any halachas. From time to time, I need to escape my environment and to breathe a little bit. So is it permissible to have such a thought, or is it forbidden? So I think the answer is, it has completely to do with your attitude about Torah. And I'll explain to you what I mean, because I thought about this for a very long time. It's nagah to me, it's nagah to everybody. A person who feels that the Torah is drying him up is something very wrong. A person who feels that he needs breaks from time to time from anything that he does, no matter how wonderful it is, because that's simply part of the human need, is to have sometimes a change of scenery or environment, that's a different story entirely. And totally permissible. As he had, for example, the Brisker Rav once met the Birkat Shmuel, I think it was. But in any case, they were in a place called Druzganik, I believe. This was a forest that they used to retreat to, Bein Hazman, in certain times of the year, for basically gathering their kochos together. So the Brisker Rav said that the air here is very good. So someone asked the Brisker Rav, you became an expert on air? So he says, no. So then how do you know that the air is good? He says, because it's trachtzach and lernen besser. He says, if he can say good svaris, mistama, the air is good. You understand, the whole mentality is, you don't stop learning for a second, but you change your environment. So what are you doing there? Stay in the base matter. Stay in brisk. Stay in Kamenetz. The Teretz says, you can't do that. Because the human nature requires that change of pace, that change of whatever. They say in the name of a certain Godel, they asked him, what are you going away to this, where it was, it was like a far-flung place where there's nobody around. Man, there's nobody around. No person to be seen for miles. He says, when he went away for a break for a week or whatever it is, a big Rosh Yeshiva. So he says, what are you going there for? You sit and learn anyhow, right? She says, of course. I mean, what else can I do? Of course, I sit and learn in the corner in the forest. So then why are you going to the forest? He says, well, I have a shtickle vacation. What's the vacation? He says, I don't go to Daven B'Tzibur. So what tremendous tzaddik, you have to understand. The pshat is, there's a certain need that a person has, simply that the break, the luft, the environment, there's a certain spaciousness, there's an openness. They tell over a story from Reb Shamshiel Farhirsch. I didn't hear it from him, and I cannot vouch for it. But it's a very famous story that somebody asked him, Reb Shamshiel Farhirsch, you went to the Alps, like, what is that? So he says, well, he says, when I come to the Olam Ha'emes, and the Ribbono Shel Olam asks me, Nu Shamshiel, what do you think about my Alps? I want to have what to say. So what lies behind that? Teretz is, Einachanami, for the Vilna Gaon, the Alps was a Tosfos in Zvachem, a pirush that he was giving on Tikkunei Zohar. Yes, Einachanami, Maskev. But even someone as great, as incredibly great as Reb Shamshiel Farhirsch, it's conceivable that he should see that the Alps. And in fact, this goes back to a very fundamental question. Everyone asks this question on the Rambam in the second parak of Yesod HaTorah. The Rambam says, "Keitzad yaderech la'avasa yisbarach." Right? How do you love Hashem? Pasuk says, "V'ahavta es Hashem alikecha v'chalavavcha v'chulu." How do you love Hashem? How do you come to love Hashem? What he meant was that I just described in Perek Aleph the abstract of the abstract. How do you love the abstract? There's nothing to hold on to. All the goyim, that's their problem. They have to hold on to something. So they make a pesel, they make a statue, they make an image, an icon. They, you know, they conjure up all kinds of gods. Achmano litzlan. But we have such a pure hasaga. So how do you love this purity? How do you love this abstraction? So he says, you look at the Bria that Hashem created. You can't look at Hashem. There's nothing to look at. But when you look at the Bria, the Shoshim, it's Vainin, the Maisav, the Bruva, and the Floyim, the Yira, and the Hem, Chachmasa, Shein, the Erech, like Hates, Miyad, who Mishabeach, who Mefoyer, who Misavet, Tavet, Doyle, Ledas, Hashem, Agadol. And he quotes David HaMelech, Tzoma nafshi l'lokim, my soul thirsts for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'keil choy, the God of living things. Meaning, in other words, that the Rambam is teaching up that how do you come to Avos Hashem? You look at the sunset, you examine the cell. Every scientist should be the biggest Avos Hashem, because he sees so much more than we do. Everyone asks the question, Amen, look. The best way to come to Avos Hashem is to learn Torah. So why does the Rambam not mention learning Torah? The truth is, it's a shtickl mystery no matter what answer you give, because the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, when he comes to the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, he quotes himself there, which he does not quote in the Yad HaChazakah, the Sifri that says, there's a pasuk that says, V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, and immediately after it says, V'yad v'melev shinantam l'vanecha v'dibar taba. How do you come to Avos Hashem, says the Sifri? From v'shinantam l'vanecha v'dibar taba, from learning Torah. So there's even a makar for it in Chazal. So why didn't the Rambam mention it? So I have a teretz. It's not a complete teretz, because the Rambam could have mentioned both. Why does the Rambam leave it out completely, learning Torah? But my teretz is that the mitzvah of Torah is only for the men. The mitzvah of Avos Hashem is universal. So he picked something that was equally universal. Every person can discover Hashem in this manner that the Rambam describes. Not every person is mesugo, because it's not their business to love Hashem, to come to Avos Hashem through Limud HaTorah. But there is no question that you can come to Avos Hashem from looking at the Bria with the right set of eyes. If you start with the Ribbono Shel Olam, then you come to a Havana that this is his world, and it's majestic, and it's unbelievable. A person will not see that world if he sits in the Beis Medrash Yom HaMelech. It's true. But Meiduk Isa, he sees Hashem maybe more intimately. But sometimes even the intimacy needs space. And sometimes you need to see Hashem. It's like, what do you have two eyes for? You have two eyes because you have to have perspective. And with one eye, you don't have perspective. Two eyes, spaced this far apart, one from the other, gives you an incredible sense of depth. Sometimes you need to see Hashem from both of those angles. But if you come away from the Beis Medrash with a feeling that I'm being stifled to death, that I'm being confined, that I'm being, you know, crippled. So why do I do it? Because I'm part of that society, or because it's a mitzvah. Nebuch. It's Nebuch a mitzvah. So such a person's always going to be over manoa nirzeh, manoa ilanzeh. That's the point. So it really depends on kavana and attitude, where you are coming from. And the same thing is this whole idea that it's miyabish the person. Torah is not miyabish a person. Torah expands a person. Torah develops a person. Torah gives a person insights that he otherwise would never have. And Torah gives you a depth and a purpose to life which completely changes the personality. I see people that are shriveled up, that are sitting and learning. There's something wrong with them. They didn't get it. They didn't get the point. That's why, look at how much Torah there is in the smallest thing and how many different kinds of Torah there are. The Shivim Panim La Torah. The Torah is so vast and so varied and so variegated. It has to nourish just about every aspect of your personality if you allow it to. So of course it's unbelievably mind-bending and mind-opening. It doesn't happen to everybody. So there's something missing. There's something wrong. They didn't get the picture. They didn't get it right. They weren't taught by good rebbeim. But they didn't start with Avas HaTorah. They started with a burden. And they remained with a burden all their lives. And a person who feels a burden is not going to feel open and expansive. It's very simple. So that's why anybody that thinks that Torah somehow confines a person is making a terrible mistake. Afalpi Kain, sometimes you have to see the ops. But it depends why you're going. Are you leaving? What's the famous image of the guy in the sukkah, Lassid Lavo? He brings down the chama. He has to leave the sukkah. But what does he do? He gives it a kick. That's the chiluk. That's exactly the chiluk. Do you kick the base medrash on your way out? Do you close the Gemara with a glee? Rabbi Soloveitchik was giving shir that those years. I wasn't there. It's long before my time. But he's giving shir those years in a building that was also the high school building. Why is that relevant? Because the high school had a bell system for the periods to end. So the bell used, and he gave shir very precisely at that time. Later it was different. He went to a different building, and his shirim were not always exactly at the same time, and didn't end at the same time. But at the beginning, that was the system. So the Bachrim knew that at 1 o'clock, when the bell rang, 1 o'clock sharp, that's when he finished the shir. One day, he was mamish in the middle of answering a very difficult kasha, and it took a little bit longer. So he's in the middle, the bell rings, and the Bachrim start closing the Gemaras. So and they stood up to leave. Not everybody, I imagine, but some of them. So he said to them, he had a very thick accent, but he had a very, very rich background and vocabulary, as everybody knows. So he says, "Will you please sit down, you Pavlovian dogs?" Because the dogs would respond, to the Pavlov's dogs, right? He would train them to respond to the bell or whatever it was that was the stimulus. But in any case, you have to understand something. I got from that story, and from that story, I see it all the time. I got something else. It's true, they heard the bell. But if you're hearing a teretz, how could you leave in the middle of a teretz? That kasha should be boggling your mind, should not giving you rest. How could you leave the room without... Imagine now, Marshal Mohadov Adoyme. Somebody's telling, a great storyteller is telling a fantastic story, and he's just about coming to the punchline. Who did it? Who did it, in fact? And you pick yourself up because it's 12 o'clock and you leave. Nobody would ever do that. And if they did it, they'd say, "Oh, I got to call up my chav and find out what happened in the end." And he used to say this. This he said for years and years. He says, "You want to know the difference between my talmid and myself? I'll tell you. There are two differences." He says, "When I start giving shir, I feel like I'm 100 years old." He had a lot of mechushim and machlis, whatever. Ulcers in the back, and he had a bout with Yanamachim. He had a lot of things. He says, "But when I finish giving the shir, I feel like a roaring tiger." A roaring tiger. And my Talmidim, the exact opposite. They come in young, and they leave, they are like old people. He says, that's one difference. And the second difference, he says, is when I have a problem, all day and a good deal of the night, I think about this problem. And my Talmidim, out of the shir, out of the mind. This was, you know, and the truth is, one had a masayra that Torah is everything, and is nothing but. And you can imagine that such a person, he can't stop thinking even if he wanted to. Such people had problems going into the bathroom, you should know. Because how do you turn it off? I'm not joking. And there's a famous maaser with the Rogatchev about taking a haircut or whatever. I mean, so it should be our biggest problem. But then there's a person, you have my shear, and then I have the rest of my life. And one thing has nothing to do with the other. What do you mean there's a question? So I'll come back to it when the time comes. The tremendous difference. That's ki heim chayenu v'orech yameinu. So I was thinking to myself that's the ki heim chayenu becomes orech yameinu. That's the shikui la'atzmei sefa. That's the malbim. The bir hagra. Rifus ti'il isharecha asur meira shehu atshuva yir refuah lipsarcha k'ma shekosu b'shova rafalo. I have to tell you that on this line we can speak for hours, and it's really maybe appropriate because it's Chodesh Elul and it's right before Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The word refuah in connection with tshuva appears more than once in Tanakh. And one of them is this pasuk which I quote in the footnote. Right? Refuah in this context is defined as wholesomeness, the reintegration of the personality. A person who is a chote leads a very fragmented existence. He is in dissonance with himself. He's in conflict and contradiction with himself. Everybody speaks about the Ribbono Shel'olam leaving him, like the Rambam describes. Yesterday he was apart from Hashem. When a person is apart from Hashem, that's not where it stops. He's apart from Hashem, he's apart from himself. He cannot integrate himself. And that is the ultimate sickness. And the sickness is relieved by tshuva, and that's why it's called a refuah. So the pasuk says, "Hashmein leivo am azev avzav hachbeid veinov asha." This is a very, I wouldn't like the word to use cynical or sarcastic, but the pasuk is saying, let them be blind to their potential. Because if chas v'sholem they would become aware of their potential, maybe they would do tshuva and it would be a healing for them. And I wanted you just to notice a very interesting thing that I noticed many years ago. The pasuk says, "Pen yira be'enov, he'll see, uba'oznav yishma, ubilvavo yovin." Right? We have in the parsha of Kisavai, that the Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that they did not come to a knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad hayom hazeh, right? So he says, right? Nosan lochem, what's the lashon? Leiv lehavin ve'einayim lirois ve'aznayim shmaya. Notice that leiv comes first. Where does leiv come in this pasuk?
At the end.
That's the pshat. Because the person who is there, what primes him is the leiv. And he sees on account of his leiv. A person whose leiv is corrupt, so if he's corrupted already, and he has to do tshuva, it's very difficult to change the leiv. You have to change the environment. It's very difficult to do tshuva mitoich the aveira. There are occasions where that happens. That's the ma'aseh of Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya in the Gemara in the Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara speaks about such a person that in the middle of a ma'aseh with a zayna, he suddenly discovered that he's a disaster, and he died in the process of doing tshuva. So it does happen on occasion, but very rarely. Somebody shakua needs to change his environment, needs to be taken in by what his eyes see and what his ears hear before his heart can change. He needs to be brought mashcheyu lebeis hamedrash. But the person whose heart is pure, the heart primes everything else. So what his heart feels makes him see things differently and hear things differently. That's the pasuk of refuah. that it has to do with tshuva according to the Gra. V'shikri la'atzmeisechu hu ayira shu mitzvah saseh. So he learns, b'kitzer, again, he divides these psukim up into these basic constructs, and rifu silu sharecha, the first half of the pasuk, refers to the loisaseh, sur meira, and the second half of the pasuk, shikri la'atzmeisechu, refers to the mitzvah saseh. And then he adds the following. Ki yeshev, right, v'loi ava aveira, choshav olav, ke'ilu osa mitzvah v'yitul schar mitzvah. V'zeu shikri la'atzmeisechu, he says, why is yira a mitzvah saseh? So he says, because it says, fear Hashem. He says more than that. And this is a very fascinating issue. I don't do a lot of aveiros. Many of us avoid tons of aveiros. The circumstances never present themselves, and I have no interest in them. Who's going to eat a piece of chazir? Nobody's interested in eating a piece of chazir. There's a famous pizza shop that's written up in the, what's it called? Zagat. Zagat? Yes?
Restaurant.
It's amazing what goes into this head and gets stuck there. It's like Balkarki, you know. But anyhow, they got written up. They also got written up by the Board of Health. Yeah. I don't know how. That's not a steerabout dice for those people. But then, you know, we shouldn't be such tzaddikim because we have our own issues. But the Maisa, they got written up by the Zagats, which is an organization, and that they put out a book about the best restaurants, the best wines, the best this, the best that, and all of this food stuff. So they were written up as one of the best pizza shops in New York. It's right here on Avenue J. You know, I pass by, and immediately I feel nauseous. The Goyish place, yeah. I pass by, and I get nauseous. Is it instinct that a Yid feels that he gets nauseous by? It's interesting because I'll say Atoymer Yefshi Bipsat Hazir Efshi Vatayra Amra. But once the Hatayra Amra, then it becomes the Yefshi. You understand? In other words, in theory, it would be maybe. In theory, it's written up in Zagats. There must be something going on. Sometimes you know that they have a line around the block. It's mind boggling. A little place, a Pashtunk in a place.
He runs out of dough.
And there's this old man there. You look in the window. You wonder, ma tiba, you know, shalu barzeh, what's going on? And you can't figure it out because an elohim doesn't understand the whole picture. But the bottom line is that there is such a mitzias. I don't have a title for it. I don't have an appetite for it. So do I get schar for passing it by?
No.
I don't think so. Otherwise, I would get tons and tons of schar. There are a lot of things I don't do. And it comes on Shabbos. And during the week, I might want to take a sefer out and carry it across the street. Or during the week, I might take my wallet with me or my car keys. I might go on, drive to yeshiva. Does it shter me that I can't drive to yeshiva on Shabbos? Or that I can't drive around the block? Of course not. It never bothers me. So do I get schar that on Shabbos I'm not driving? I don't think so. I get schar for keeping Shabbos, but I don't get schar for kiddush or this for that. For the general idea, maybe, of keeping Shabbos, but for the specifics, I don't drive 10 times, because during the week I'll drive each day 10 times. So I get schar for 10 times not driving? No. So when do you get schar for avoiding an aveira? L'chayra, the answer is, it is very basic. You get schar when the nisayon presents itself in front of you. When a person is walking on Avenue J, and there's this almost dressed woman. She must have ran out. She was in a rush. You know, I was once in a community that's supposed to be very wealthy. The women are mamish, not bitznias, totally not bitznias. So I said to them, I came thinking that this community is very wealthy, and now I realize that they're not only not wealthy, but they're very poor. What's my raya? They don't have enough money for the other half of the dress. So this is something that I encounter. I walk across, and it's mamish standing in front of me. Schar. That's what you get schar. It's not completely true. Not that you don't get schar for that for sure you get schar, but it's not the limit of it. And I think that's what the Gaon means by yira. You have to understand something. When a person is in a matzav of yira, he's perpetually avoiding the pitfalls that might come his way, and even things that in the end don't attract him, but the yira gives him the schach. I don't know if I'm able to formulate it as clearly as I am sometimes other things. There's a difference between a person who's a Yirei Shamayim. You say people, he's a Yirei Shamayim. There's a difference, because the difference is simple. Most people who are not on that level of Yirei Shamayim, they don't do things because you're just not accustomed to it. They're not part of that society. It's not their thing. And mainly they don't do it. Or the circumstance never, ever appears. In the case of a Yirei Shamayim, the Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid, his mitzius is that he's primed and has primed himself all his life not to encounter these matzavim because he's Yirei Shamayim. Now, I'll give you a simple example of that sort of thing. A person will, never mind what I said about that Rosh Yeshiva, a person will have a chance to move to I'll give you an example. A Maisa Shoya. There's a young fellow, he's trying to get into medical school. So far, because of his grades and the MedCats, whatever, he's able to get into a certain level of school, so far, and he's taken into a school that's somewhere upstate New York. Medical school. Decent medical school, very nice. It's not Harvard, and it's not whatever for Johns Hopkins, but it's a medical school. Anyhow, Bekitza, he goes and makes inquiry after inquiry, spends a Shabbos there, and he comes back to me. He was davening in my shul on East 17th Street, this fellow, and he says, "You know, I checked it out. There's no place to daven like a bench. There's no place to learn like a mensch. I don't feel like going." Could you imagine? His whole life he's dreaming of going to medical school. And all of his efforts are to achieve this. A bekensh. And he can keep yiddishkeit. And he can learn on his own. What kind of environment is that? He's not married. He's a bacher. Just doesn't want to go. This story has a very interesting ending. He was mislabed ahin and sadiq, back and forth. Finally, he comes to an absolute, about a couple of weeks later, the deadline is running out. He has to give in his answer. Otherwise, they give the slot away to somebody else. And he decides, no, I'm not going. So I don't go to medical school. The next day, he was accepted in NYU. The next day, he was accepted in NYU, which, of course, was bad and much better school. In any case, right, which is fascinating. Not always does the Ribbono Shel Olam reward you as quickly. but the fact of the matter is, what am I trying to bring out? That's called Yirei Shamayim. There's a person that's hungry. He's hungry. And he needs, at that moment, he's very hungry. It's very easy to look a little bit aside from what normally is your chumrah. It's only a chumrah. That's what he says to himself. It's only a chumrah. No. That's not Yirei Shamayim. The level of Yirei Shamayim that a person at that moment will say, Abba Fat, I'll survive. That is Yirei Shamayim. And there are thousands of examples of this sort of thing. A person has a suffix of shatnas. So he starts making all kinds of cheshbonos. Mistami, you can wear it anyhow. Because, And another person says, but sometimes they found that there are certain people that say that it's good, but they don't know what they're talking about. Certain merchants that sell suits and things. And sometimes they found that the same manufacturer, sometimes one batch is like this, and one batch is like that. So the eitzah that everybody in the Shatnas Laboratories gives is, check that particular garment out. You understand? So what happens? I take it anyhow. And I wear it anyhow. Maybe one day I'll have it checked when I have some other garments to check. That's not Yirei Shamayim. When a person has the level of Yirei Shamayim that we're talking about, then every moment is a moment of schar for lo yisaseh. Every moment. Anyhow, this is what I wanted to suggest. Let's just finish a couple of lines in the Gra, and then the Bir Agra says, "Mashukasav Eitzel Aloysa say l'sharecha veitzel mitzvah say l'atzmei secha." Here he gets to the point of the Ramachei Varim v'Shasagidim, which we will discuss next week. L'gabi Kriyashma and Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Ve'etzah mitzvah saseh la'atzmei secha, she'bosor ve'etzem heim ramachi vorim v'shasagidim. Atzamois heim ha'ivorim. Ve'abosor is included, gidim are connected to the tendons are more connected to bosor than to etzem. Because the substance of what they are made of is more like bosor than it is like bone itself. Lochein ha'bosor shehu sharecha hu neged lo yisaseh, and that's the shasagidim. And that's why he feels entitled to speak about Sur Meira V'Asei Toi. He's entitled to speak about Ripus Ilusharecha, is referring to Bosa, which is the Mitzvah Loi Sasei, and Shikri La'atzmei Secha Ramach Eivorim, the Mitzvah Asei.